I'm FDR.
I'm Madonna.
And I'm Phil's computer. Fuck you!
Which means that this is the second time we've tried to record this. Thanks for watching!
Gosh! Technical problems rule!
Take two, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, everybody.
Go, Martin.
We did say a lot of other stuff, but no. Because of Phil, you're not going to hear it.
You're not going to hear it. Gold. Although, so we go, I was going to, because that's Jared, he's Martin, I'm Phil.
Yes.
Yes, because we did obviously start off properly, but now
it's all
we've kind of talked about a new subject and we're kind of wasted from that, really. You have to say him that it was Disney buying Star Wars.
We'll just carry on from where I was going to go and people will just have to guess what we're talking about.
Okay.
The thing about it is Disney, they very, very, very rarely make duffers. And even John Carter, which didn't do well in the cinema, is not a duff film.
I've still not seen that.
Well,
I've still not seen that.
I've not heard anyone say completely negative.
No, it's not a bad film. It just wasn't, I think, marketed well. The name changed. People just didn't know what it was, I think. And
yeah.
I think it could have been a lot bigger than it was. But, you know, and they didn't, I don't think at any point they even said directed by the director of Little Nemo, which is going to get a lot of people going, oh?
Is it? Yeah, because I want to see the film directed by the guy who directed Finding Nemo.
Oh, that one. What did I say?
Little Nemo. That's like a bad...
That's a good film, that.
That's like one of those knockoff films. You see it in that Tesco for like £3.
No, it's not. Little Nemo. Little Nemo Adventures in Dreamland.
Hey?
Have you not heard of Little Nemo?
I probably have done.
It's a manga film, but it was also a game on the NES, Little Nemo.
Ringing a bell, actually. Little...
Yeah, okay. Finding Nemo. But yes, there we go.
Nemo,
interesting. People were going on about, oh, it's blah, 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 blah. I'm sure people know what we're talking about, don't they?
People obviously know that we were talking about the latest news.
Yeah, Disney bought Lucasfilm. Anyway.
Although,
did you
hear the rumours about Disney's next potential purchase?
Transformers?
Hasbro.
Yeah.
Oh, that could be good, though, if they kick out Michael Bay.
That'll be done probably before.
You reckon?
Yeah, but, I mean, basically, talking about John Carter as well, which is your guy Andrew Stanton, also Pixar, I mean, totally, I would just be totally on board for Brad Bird doing a Star Wars film.
I think it would be mega.
And now apparently people are saying it's not actually Matthew Vaughn, it's some guy who directed...
It was some weird guy, wasn't it?
It's like some sort of science fiction film, but I don't know. But anyway, Matthew Vaughn, I think, would have been a decent pick. Who was it? It was Mark Miller came up with Brad Bird,
J.J. Abrams. And Drew Goddard?
Did he say Drew Goddard?
I think so.
I think he said, did he say Matthew Vaughn?
Let's say that he did.
I can't remember. He picked out four awesome, amazing picks. Oh, Duncan Jones.
Oh, man.
I genuinely don't think J.J. Abrams would be considered just...
No, because of Star Trek,
yeah.
But, I mean, Duncan Jones, I'd be on board for. I would have totally been on board for Matthew Vaughn. Mm. I don't know who this other guy is. The problem with this other guy is apparently he was handpicked by Lucas. That's your problem, right?
That's never a good thing, is it? It's never a good sign.
That's the thing, though, isn't it? Because he's still creative consultant, so he's not completely distanced himself away.
Yeah, but I think creative consultants is going to be like, yeah, just give me the money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, they've allowed stuff like The Force Unleashed 2 to be canonized into the universe, so I think that they've got pretty much free reign now. So hoping something good comes from it. But...
Yeah. Because, look at how another franchise got rebooted several years ago. In films that we're going to talk about next, maybe?
Yes, indeed, that's smooth. Yeah, that is smooth, because we're going to talk about what we watch next, and obviously, it being early November, the biggest film that we've all seen is probably going to be Skyfall.
Let the sky fall!
I'm still not completely enamored with that song.
I like it really because it's not.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
Hi, another day.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what he's doing with that.
Because I'm editing, I can put in the Die Another Day song in here because it's the best Bond theme ever.
Phil actually likes
don't
that song.
The entire Die Another Day song, because it's like 5 minutes long.
Yeah, I will. The whole thing. It's like right now.
It goes. Die Another Day, I'm an owl witch.
It's brilliant. Die Another Day is the song that Rudebox couldn't be.
Oh, for frig's sake.
You're
I
I don't know if I'm trolling anymore.
Out of the recent James Bond songs, like You Know My Name, but I don't think it's a James Bond song. I detested the White Stripe.
Oh, really? That wasn't bad.
That wasn't bad.
That song, and it's a crap James Bond song. Die Another Day is the worst James Bond song. But anyway, those other two. But and then this one actually sounds like a James Bond song. For this is the end. I've drowned and dreamt this moment. So overdue, I owe the end. Swept away, I'm stolen. Hit the sky fall.
You see, I argue with this.
It is. It sounds like it goes.
Yeah, no, it sounds like he's arguing. Shirley Bassey song, but here's going to be a big fact for you all. Okay.
Big I know fact. Something to do with something.
I know it's. I out of all the three Shirley Bassey songs that she's sung for Bond, I only like one of them, and that's Goldfinger.
Goldfinger.
Listen, The other ones are like Moonraker, which is slow as shit. Moonraker does that shit. And the other one's Diamonds Are Forever, which is quite a feminine song for a James Bond theme. I mean, the only other song that's quite feminine for a James Bond theme is Nobody Does It Better, but that's kind of like an ego stroke.
I really quite liked GoldenEye.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Man, this section's going to be like half an hour because all the Bond songs we mentioned are going to point clips of.
You don't need to put clips of any of them.
The little stings.
Okay.
Anyway, let's get back to
Skyfall, which I had no clue why it was called Skyfall.
Are we going to do spoilers?
Is that like known James Bond trivia? Yeah,
I think we need to speak about this. So we are going to spoilerize it. So come back in about 5 minutes or something.
I'm going to put the spoiler alarm.
Come back because it's the whole point of talking about it.
You know what the spoiler alarm's going to be?
Yeah.
Craig Charles saying, awooga, awooga.
Awooga!
Because interestingly, because I was talking to my wife, and this ties in with this whole Skyfall. I was talking to my wife about, you remember we talked about before about the James Bond theory, about they're all different people, but they all go under the same code name.
Yeah.
Well, that's essentially not true now.
Well, I thought they were going that way, but then they did a swerve.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. There is no continuity. Continuity is all buggered up.
Yeah, there is. I mean, I think anyone who tries to think that James Bond films have any sort of... I know there are obviously Blofeld and these people who reappear and stuff like that, and Jaws is in a couple, but I think you can't say that they're in any way related to each other, apart from these three. Which obviously do seem to follow on from each other.
But the thing is, every single Bond kind of follows on for each other. So all the Roger Moores follow on.
Well, okay, true. I suppose if you go by the individual Bonds follow on from each other.
But then I thought they were going to kind of go down the codename route because the bad guy played by Javier Bardem is called brilliant. He's called he's like M calls him Silver, and he's like, no, tell him my real name. Like, you know, because that was his code name when he was an MI6 agent.
Oh,
he had like a real name.
But I mean, no.
They're going down the code name route. But then you get to the end, and it's like, nah.
They're doing that, but no, they can't. They can't have done because the end completely, unless that's a big ruse. But the end completely destroys that theory, doesn't it?
Yeah, quite disappointingly, because I love that theory. I'm a firm believer in that theory.
Is that known now? Before this is why I was saying, is that known James Bond trivia?
What?
And this is the spoiler bit, that Skyfall was the name of where he grew up and stuff.
I don't know. I do know that he did make Bond have Scottish roots, and ever since Ian Fleming saw Dr. No and saw Sean Connery in, one of the last novels that he wrote, he gave Bond Scottish heritage.
So it wasn't,
I'm not entirely sure. I don't think it was called Skyfall. I think that is something that was made up. But certainly his father was Andrew Bond, who was Scottish, and his mother was, I forget her name, but yeah, who's like Swiss. So, but yeah, that is in canon. But again, the Bond, literary Bond is completely different to film Bond. So,
just looking on the Wikipedia page, I think the name of his parents are the same.
Yeah.
And it just says they lived in Glencoe in Scotland, and that's it. It doesn't kind of say they had like a place called Skyfall or anything. But that was a nice touch, though.
I had no clue why it was called Skyfall. And even when the trailers were like Skyfall, I thought it was the name of possibly the code, you know, the guy steals or something.
Mission Skyfall he was on or something.
It was like that end of it. I had no clue where it came from.
Something that I didn't like at the end of the film was how the Javier Bardem character died. I mean, I know he got a dagger to the back. Obviously, this is a big spoiler here. But I think it would have been a better thing if he was, like, holding M hostage, and then Bond had to take the shot with his gun. Because then it would reflect that Bond had
to take the shot.
It's kind of reflects from earlier on, doesn't it? How she was saying, take the bloody shot. I think it should have ended like that, personally.
I think Ray Fiennes is a genius pick for New Year.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah,
that was brilliant.
It's like, where did he come from? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, he's perfect.
Yeah. Because I know it's like Bond's 50th anniversary, but I didn't realise they were going to throw in so many nods to the previous Bonds.
I had no clue who that girl was going to be until she said, at the very end that she wasn't going back on the field, and I turned to Annie and I went, she's Moneypenny.
I actually worked out sooner than that.
Did you? I had no clue, I have to say.
They don't actually refer to her at all by her name.
Yeah.
And I think, so, is that
we
what,
don't know who the hell she is yet.
Yeah. What, whenever she said she was going to be a desk job or whatever, and I turned and I went, Moneypenny.
Yeah, what tipped me off was when you didn't see them have sex.
Yeah, but true. Yeah, there was that.
I was like, hang on a second, there we go. But yeah, you had like the original Aston Martin with the flipping ejector seat.
Well, I mean,
let's this is where continuity goes apeshit here, because obviously that was introduced in Goldfinger.
Yeah, makes no sense, but it's obviously just there for the 50th anniversary. Just,
it's a cinematic continuity. Nod. It's not, you know, it's there to just sort of
it's
make
a little nod.
And I think, as they said, they wanted to make the best Bond film, and I think that's where they obviously people probably knew by now. Most people probably have seen it. All just those little things they did, and especially the way it ended is just kind of like
kind of back in the wood paneled room with a male M and all that kind of stuff. It's just like wow,
interesting. Because everybody loved how Casino Royale and Quantum took it away from that Bond. Yeah. And now everybody's kind of saying, well, I can't wait to see...
Get back,
They're back into the sort of the Bond
the
mode.
The kind of classic setup kind of it.
It would be interesting if the next one was just a complete Roger Moore James
Bond. That would be amazing.
Completely daft, nonsensical.
I would honestly prefer they went back to a Sean Connery one, because I think that would suit his style perfectly.
Nah, do a direct sequel to Moonraker.
Oh man,
bring Jesus. Jaws back, go crazy with it,
just bring in Blofeld next.
Something else I didn't like with the film was the soundtrack, because obviously it's not David Arnold who did it this time around, it's a run-in of Sam Mendes who did the soundtrack, and I felt that he misused the Bond theme, because the Bond theme's usually done when something big happens or he does something that's particularly Bondy, but it hardly happens in this film, and I just feel that that's a bit of a slight shame.
Probably did have as much of an issue with it.
No, I don't have an issue with it, but the way it hit when the car was revealed, that was really good. That was like a proper Bond moment. That was
that's because it was pure 60s. Bond. Or 50s Bond or whatever, you know, it was
the proper classic theme.
Perhaps I'm being too hard on it then, because I mean, when I went to see it, it wasn't the best day, because I had some woman behind me doing the fucking river dance against my seat, so maybe I should see it again.
Well, if you're listening, woman, you're a bitch.
You are a complete bitch, and I like had to do that angry glare 3 times at her.
Oh man,
soon after, but it was like,
She withstood the ferocity of your glare 3 times.
Yeah.
Ferocity of the Bane stare.
A big obvious one where I had to turn the entire head around.
Oh, man. That is... See, I normally do the kind of glance over my shoulder and huff. That's as normally as far as I go.
No, I proper went 180 on her.
You went the full 180?
I gave a boob punch.
180 on her.
Man, that is crazy.
Yes.
And she withstood it and just took it on.
Yeah, and she stopped for about a few minutes, and then after a few...
Was she putting her feet up on the seat?
I don't know what the fuck she was. She just kept on kicking it. I don't know why.
Maybe she had some kind of, you know, mental condition, and you just mocked her for having, you know, like a twitch.
Maybe she was blind.
Yeah, maybe she was blind.
Maybe she was blind.
Who knows? That's why she couldn't see the glare.
Makes sense.
That's why she had a dog with her.
That makes sense now, doesn't it? Yeah. But I think the other thing about Skyfall is the film looks beautiful.
Yeah, it does look good.
Everything looks good, especially there's the fight in the building in Shanghai that when they're just silhouettes.
Yes,
that was beautiful. That was amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is actually a good film, and like we said, we've not actually given him.
It's made a crap ton.
Well, Javier Bardem
of money.
Amazing. No.
Say it right.
Javier Bardem.
Javier Bardem.
He gives good Bond bad guy.
He is. Especially a scenery chewer.
Genius. He is one of the best Bond villains we've
seen. But the little stroke on the throat around by his neck. Oh, man. That was amazing. Oh,
and the perfect comeback, though. Perfect comeback was, what makes you think it's not happened before? It's like, yes!
Go, Bond!
Answer for everything.
Yes. So where do we place this in the Daniel Craig Bonds?
It's the third one in the Daniel Craig
Bonds. Oh, there's been three of them.
Don't you turn on me now. You know exactly what I meant. Top, middle, or bottom?
Yeah, I think... Oh, top.
I still say Casino Royale was my favourite. Everything just worked well. The inclusion of the gun barrel at the start...
There was no gun barrel in this. That's probably the biggest.
That was the end, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean...
Quantum Solace did the same.
I think Solace is at the bottom for me, because it just isn't kind of...
Quantum of Solace is at the bottom of me purely because it's filled with too much shaky cam.
Yeah.
The villain wasn't good.
And it just kind of loses its way. It starts well, but it kind of loses its way in the second half. It's just, it doesn't end in a squib rather than a big sequence. So, and I think I'd probably put Skyfall just above Casino Royale, just because...
I think I'd probably just put it above it. I think I just enjoyed it more.
Yeah, combination of Bardem and just the look of it.
I need to watch Skyfall again then, when nobody's sitting behind me.
Yeah.
Basically.
By like the entire two rows.
Yes. I'll bring traffic cones just to put behind me.
The only logical way, mine. The only logical way.
Definitely. So is that the film that we've all seen this week? Or yeah. Have you seen any others?
Nah, let's move on.
I'll just do this very simple, fast review. FDR relates to a character in This Means War, which is the film with Chris Pine and Tom Hardy. It's all right. It's not a rom-com, really, because it's more boyish than that. It's all right, but I won't go out to any effort to watch it again.
Well, it's a McG film, so why am I going to bother?
Yeah.
It's lethal watching!
Okay, so, are we ready for the debate?
What were we just doing?
No, different debate.
Okay.
Different debate.
Ding, ding.
This is about CGI.
Ooh.
Obviously, CGI is a big thing now in modern-day movies, and I really want to ask whether CGI, in your views, has destroyed modern-day movies. You know,
yes.
Special
has been a part of cinema since its conception, but with computer age arriving, a way to bring special effects onto film digitally also came with that. So, and obviously CGI stands for computer generated imagery, was born. So nowadays most films use CGI in some shape or form. Some have benefits to this, but obviously some for the worse. So has CGI ruined modern day movies, or is it still a valid and important necessary tool?
Okay. It has not ruined movies.
Shall I clarify my comment?
No.
Yes.
Martin's hosting, so he overrules.
Jared would go first, and then...
Well, okay, it has not ruined movies, because I don't think you can blanket say CGI has ruined movies. It has ruined many movies. I am thinking specifically of Star Trek's Episode 1 to 3, Indiana Jones and... Star Wars, sorry.
You're not informed tonight, Jared.
No, I'm all over the show. Star Wars 1, 3, and Crystal Skull. However, the reason it has not ruined movies is for one simple fact. The Avengers.
See, that's going to be my point.
You could not make The Avengers.
But that's CGI.
Without CGI. Hmm. It couldn't exist as it is in the film that we saw and has made billions of whatever. That film could not exist, and you could argue, well, look at Star Wars and all the films they did, you know, A New Hope and all these things, but not The Avengers. It would be, you could make The Avengers, but it wouldn't be the same film.
Wouldn't be the same.
Do you think then that it's because CGI is used too much in certain films? I mean,
well, Star Wars is just hideously CGI'd.
If you've watched the ones on ITV recently.
I detest CGI sets. I hate them. I hate CGI sets. I hate Kamino. I hate the Jedi Temple. This is going to just end up being a Star Wars rant, most likely. because they're the biggest culprits of the hideous misuse of CGI sets. Now, we've been watching because it's the type of thing that Annie would like. We've been watching, you know, that Once Upon a Time series, which is the TV show about like fairy tale people and stuff. Well, pretty much universally, when they're in the fairy tale world, it's CGI sets. It annoys me, but it doesn't annoy me that much because it's a TV show, and I sort of, I don't know, you know, you just think about budgets and stuff like that. But Star Wars, when you think of, you know, just proper sets, you can, you know, it's so obvious when something is not tangible.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, and it just winds me up. It does annoy me in that TV show. It doesn't annoy me as much because that it's that TV show and that's all it ever did. Probably what annoys me most about Star Wars is I know what it was. And just the same as well with like Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I mean, Indiana Jones did not need CGI at all. It had matte paintings, yes. But mats are cool.
They are cool.
So, you know, you think about The Last Crusade when he goes over the cliff and they're standing at the edge of the cliff. Well, that's you can tell that's probably mostly matte painting for a good part of it. But, you know, then you think about Kingdom of the Crystal Skull when they're driving along the edge of the cliff and it's clearly CGI. And you're just like, it looks rubbish. There's no sense of actually in any way danger at all. Because it looks like it's not there. It doesn't look like it's a real place. So I just, that's, I think, I sound like actually I'm the opposite of what I did say at the start. I still don't think CGI has ruined movies because I think when it's used brilliantly, you can get away with it.
But it's used inappropriately.
Well, think about even the Star Trek reboot. That's pretty much all practical sets. I know that probably a lot of the big Romulan ship is CGI, but they're obviously standing on real sets with CGI background.
Yeah, like when you look at the engine room in Star Trek.
Yeah, that's a real room.
Yes.
Yeah, that's superb.
There were some people who didn't like that effect.
Well,
they can go away.
You know, when he's on the snow planet, he's probably in a big room somewhere filled with snow, but he's running through real, what looks to be real snow type stuff. He isn't running along with little CGI puffs of dust coming up from his feet, you know, on a green room. It's, you know, so that, and you know, then you're in space and it's all CGI, but it looks okay. I don't mind in Star Wars prequels when they're in space and they're spaceships and things.
Yeah, because that kind of makes sense.
I can get away with that because that's how you do it and that's just the way it's done nowadays. But it's just CGI sets and stuff like that. Yeah. Oh, grinds my bones.
Do you think then it's bad CGI then that affects the quality of the film?
I think it is terrible CGI in Star Wars. It does, you know, I think CGI rooms never come off well, looking well. I think this is what
they don't age well, do they?
Yeah, when you're in space and you're clearly not mixing a real person with something that's CGI because they're in space, you know, that's where the problem lies. When you've got something that's real and it's being mixed together with CGI, that's where you get the issues, I think.
If I clarify my comments saying it did ruin films.
Sure.
It ruined films from a period from about the late 90s through to the mid-2000s. And I think I would probably draw the line at about Iron Man. Because when Iron Man came out, that was full of CG.
But it was practical.
Yeah. But the CG seemed to reach a point where it was starting to become indistinguishable from good, you know, model effects.
Yeah.
You know, because there's some bits at the end where they're fighting, you know, it is quite hard to tell what's a practical, you know, suit and what's like an actual CGI effect. So I think when they have that much money thrown at it, I think you can. That's it's kind of not starting to be like less noticeable.
Would you not just say though that because of that time as well, it's more to do with the upscale of computers and what computers can do nowadays? Do you not think that?
Oh, yeah, I think it's just like a matter of, you know, the grunt that modern PCs have got that they can generate that kind of image.
I don't think it'll ever be photorealistic. You'll always know.
There'll be a sheen to it.
I think you'll always be able to tell.
Yeah. It just depends. It's like you look at some parts of, go back to the Avengers again. You know, some parts of the sequence with the helicarrier, you know, that could have been a big model effect in some shots.
True.
You know, it's just, but then you say, you look back at like the... I'll go back to Star Wars again, but screw it, let's go for it.
It's just, it's the biggest culprit.
You go back to the first Star Wars film, the aliens look wrong. Like, the CG effects don't look great at all in that these days. They just look really, really stand out. They're really noticeable. Yeah.
The then... other biggest culprit is the two Matrix sequels, which I remember when they were coming out, and the hype was all going to be that they were saying they were doing stuff with CGI and computers that was just beyond everything that had been done before, you know, and all this kind of... And they just look like rubbery people, you know, like in the Smith fight and stuff like that. It's still an impressive thing to watch.
Yeah.
Just about. But the rubberiness of the characters and their movements and their faces, it's dated bad.
Yeah, because a lot of the stuff in the first Matrix, it was kind of like... Like, all the bullet time effects were done with actual cameras, weren't they? They filmed the camera
they
around
were
the
real,
people.
They were, it was like a million cameras or whatever set
and
up
and then they
them.
Kind of used the CG to massage it to make it look extra. I think the backgrounds were CG to get those movement right, weren't they? But the people in the middle, they were the actual, like, taken from the cameras. Whereas...
Yeah, they were real. And if you also then go stick with the same film, the highway sequence is done incredibly well up until the point when the things crash and Neo flies and saves them. But the whole drive and the way they do that, and you know that quite a bit of that is CGI. Still, the rubbery agents don't look right. But the way the camera swoops under cars and sideways through cars, and you know a lot of those cars probably weren't there at the time. And that's how they got the shot. They're CGI'd in. But that looks still very impressive.
Yeah. I think the problem was with CGI. It became a shortcut to do things that look better practically.
The Thing reboot.
Yeah. I've still not seen that.
What a mess. It'll break your heart.
There's probably a good kind of thing like in a nutshell. Because obviously the original thing is all about the practical effects. All about the models and stuff. And I'm guessing the new one isn't.
It'll break your heart.
Then I will never watch it, and I will forget that it was ever made and that it was ever a thing.
It's such a curious thing because you just it's just wrong. It's just a wrong film.
It's just wrong.
Everything about it feels wrong and feels off, and particularly when the thing is about, and you're just like, you know, if you could have probably overlooked a lot of the other issues with it if they had went practical.
Yeah.
The fact that it's CGI, I think, is what completely ruins it. If it had been practical, yes, it still wouldn't have been as good as the original. It would have been had its flaws, but people would have got over it for the fact that they went and they had the balls to do a completely practical movie. But they don't. It's just it. Nowadays, it just seems to be a quick fix, a quick way to do stuff.
Yeah.
Going back to Star Wars and the Matrix, then, if you had the option to take away all the CGI so that the film would just focus on the story, do you think that it would make it a better film?
No. The flaws for the Star Wars prequels go much deeper than that. But if you take not the prequels, but say the original Star Wars movies and the special editions, you know, the CGI adds nothing. It looks bad in some places. You know, it looks poor in places. It does nothing for the film.
It drags the film down.
Do you know, and, you know, yes, it's not to be Luddite about the whole thing. Yes, okay, it's technology, it's progress, but you didn't need those things to make the first three Star Wars, and people may call nostalgia card and stuff like that, but no, I don't think so.
Yeah, but ITV's been showing the Star Wars films, like, last few weeks, and they just had Empire Strikes Back on last week, and you watch Empire Strikes Back, you know, compare that to... Phantom Menace, and you question which one looks older.
Well, all I can say is in 20 years' time, the original three will look worse.
Yeah, the Empire Strikes Back looks as good, if not better.
The first three, episodes 1 to 3, will look worse than episodes 4 to 5, 6, in 20 years' time. And that's kids, I'm sure kids nowadays, like your boy who actually likes those films because he doesn't know any better, you know, he will be able say probably that 1 to 3 look worse than 4 to 6.
Because the only things that stand out in The Empire Strikes Back is when they kind of crowbarred in some new CG effects. you know, like in the classic sequence like at the end.
They've put the backgrounds and everything to it and stuff like
and
that.
And they really stand out. They don't look right. Whereas the rest of the film, just the look of it is so cohesive and so real because most of it was a practical effect.
The biggest culprits are when they're in Mos Eisley and they've just got all this random stuff going on, and then the singing band in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, just completely nonsensical additions that they're there
just because they can.
Additions are there because he could and he just did, and that's why a lot of the stuff I think is in 1-3 because he could and he just thought, I will, and he just did it. But no, you know, there's I mean, good examples. Still Jurassic Park, I think, still looks amazing.
Yeah, the CG in that's held up. Like
because it's sparing. There's quite a lot of practical use, you know, practical effects. It just seems to still fit well. Whereas The Lost World, not so much, because they went a bit too far, I think, with it.
Pushed a bit too much. Yeah, you can kind of look at a lot of the films kind of around about 95 to 98. Like, I'm thinking of, like, the Lost in Space film.
Yeah.
And that kind of era that were like,
when the it was Lord, just beginning kind of thing.
Yeah, the Lord of the Man's different. That's like a whole different. That's the start. That's a virtual reality thing. But with like Lost in Space, when it's becoming like they're starting to replace backgrounds and model effects with the CG.
I think it's still that's actually a practical ship they're using that. Yeah. But I think a lot of the other stuff is CGI, particularly CGI Gary Oldman,
which looks tough. No offense to Gary Oldman, but that has not aged well either.
No.
Yeah.
And then let's actually get a lot newer. The Batman, the three Batman Begins trilogy.
Yeah, they've never had any kind of
nothing quite overtly in your face CGI, and very much pretty much quite practical.
Yeah. Like all the Christopher Nolan films, really, like Inception. That's got a ton of special effects in it, but they're all done well enough that you don't think, oh, that looks like CG.
Yeah. It probably has a lot to who does the effects, and obviously, as you say, the difference in the computers and what they could do. I am expecting The Hobbit to look vastly different to the Lord of the Rings trilogy. You know, at that time, Weta, when I think they did a lot of the CGI, they were still a fairly new sort of kid on the block, you know, when it came to that. And a lot of that stuff doesn't look, there's a lot of green screen work which doesn't really come off very well. There's a lot of green screen halos, do you know what I mean?
Where
like a green aura around.
You can see that they've been matted onto something else.
Yeah.
Especially like the final, the Battle of the Pelennor Fields.
Yeah, and the one of the bits that really stick in my mind is when they're Pippin and Merry are walking along with Treebeard, and it's just this very odd effect.
Yeah,
where they're bouncing up and down with like a green halo, and it doesn't seem to gel well with the background. I'm expecting to look vastely different.
Do you think then
have matured, obviously, probably in the last 10 to 12 years?
What do you think then about the whole actors working with CGI? I mean, because obviously there are some films out there which has some clearly bad actors working with CGI, and it's not the CGI's fault, but it's the whole interaction, because the actor's not that great and he doesn't know what he's looking at, kind of causes a bad scene. And it's not CGI's fault, it's just he can't act in that situation because he can't particularly visualise it, or because of bad direction. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Look at Star Wars.
I'm thinking of Episode One again. That just seems to pop into my head. Yeah.
However, saying that, it's twofold. It works twofold because you do have Natalie Portman, right? Obviously, she's won an Oscar for Black Swan, so she's clearly a good actress. However, there's always that scene in Episode Two, you know, where she bites the apple.
Where she sort of pokes it from the air.
Yeah, that's just really, really bad.
I think just a lot of the problems are, you know, as you say, she's clearly a good actress.
With a good director.
Yeah, with a good director, do you know what I mean?
George Lucas is far from a good director, not anymore.
No, not anymore. And not anymore. Although he's planning to do, just on a side note, it says he's planning to do a lot of smaller films now that, he says he doesn't think will be hard to pick up distribution and stuff like that, so you know, he may come out swinging and sort of surprise everyone.
Well, yeah, you know, if he goes back to like THX 1138 and American Graffiti and just like those kind of films, that would be interesting. Rather than trying to, you know, recapture, I think essentially we can all see Star Wars as like a lucky moment for him.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So are we in agreement then, moving back to CGI, that CGI nowadays is used mostly as like a crowd pleaser, kind of like how they've started to release more films in 3D and also more films as 12A kind of things to get the most interest.
It's all about the most money. Yeah, you know, people like to see big bangs and things, you know, big things that they've never seen before, and I think that's where CGI comes in. And I mean, obviously, don't get me wrong, a lot of the best films of the last 5-6 years or whatever, and, you know, when even the last 10 years, maybe they couldn't have been done without probably CGI to some extent. I mean, I say best films, I'm talking about obviously big blockbuster movies and things like that, but, you know, a lot of those couldn't have been done without CGI. Again, coming back to the Avengers, Iron Man 2, Thor, all those sorts of things. A lot of the big comic book movies couldn't have been done without CGI. James Bond, probably to some extent, although I was very impressed by...
Well, I don't think James Bond, Skyfall, certainly, I don't think had little to no CGI. I think the helicopters.
Well, maybe things like that, but like
just very small things. Actually, talking about helicopters, Expendables 2 has the worst CGI helicopter you've ever seen in life.
Oh, you just remind me my main bugbear with CGI at the moment
is when it's squeezed into films that don't need it.
No, CGI blood splatter.
CGI blood splatter. Yeah, Expendables 2.
Why? What is the point? If they can strap 160 squibs onto James Caan's face and blow him up in The Godfather, they can still do that these days. Thank you very much.
How much is a squib? God, you know, like putting one or two squibs on a guy is going to be... It's bound to be infinitely cheaper than paying someone to frame by frame add digital blood.
It's like what we were talking about last week, though, because a lot of horror films seem to be doing that. A lot of films, actually, in general. But it's that kind of added gore kind of thing. It seems to be like in fashion nowadays.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems...
I'm just not a fan of CGI blood splatter at all. It's like, do it properly. Do it practical. It always, always looks better. Hot Fuzz at the end had a problem with that as well.
Hmm.
Just, you know, and CG bullets... You know, bullet sprays and stuff. It's like, no, just do it proper. Do it real.
Yeah.
Get proper blood shots. Come on. That's where CG's ruining films right there.
Yeah, I think it does. I don't even want to say it seems like a lazy way to do things, because to me it seems like an awful hard way, excuse me, to do something like blood.
Well,
why?
There's generally, if I like little... particle effect, so you just kind of track the effect onto the person, and then it just kind of generates the blood spatter by itself, and you can kind of massage it as you want it. So it's not like someone's rotoscoping it by hand every frame.
Well,
but it's still easier to strap something onto someone's chest and just push a
couple of squibs, boom, boom, done.
Exactly, Jared. Exactly.
So, what do you think personally about the current state of CGI in the year 2012? Do you think it's come along a great deal and now it's actually starting to be used well? Or do you think there are still some dodgy cases where...
I think there's always going to be dodgy cases. But it's just like it's just another, you know, tool in the toolkit, really. And as long as it's not relied upon to kind of get across the whole idea of the film, Star Wars, then it's fine. You know,
it has its... Of course it has its place. You're not going to get away from... CGI anymore, you know. It's there, it's here to stay.
Deal with it.
What do you envision? Sorry, let me start that again.
Please do.
Where do you see CGI going in the future?
Hopefully, like
more refined.
Yeah, hopefully, just people become more sensible in its usage, and obviously, it still has to be used, you know, for. As we say, these big movie blockbusters, but it doesn't need to be shoehorned in everywhere. It doesn't I can see how, as Phil says, maybe if it's something like an easy particle effect or something like that, people do it to maybe save time and things like that. But it's not. There has to be there has to be people who decide, look, practical effects will work better. You know, when something's supposed to be real, I think it should be real. That's the main thing.
Kind of like what's happened with the later series of Red Dwarf, because obviously they've decided to go back to being a model Red Dwarf rather than
CGI. Looks really good. That looks really good.
It does, doesn't it? It looks so much better having proper physical sets.
But shall I tell you the one thing that we've not covered in our talk about CGI film?
What?
Sure. Performance capture.
That's true, because
Avatar will age very badly.
Well, yeah, Rise of the Planet of the Apes was awesome, and there were times where you still have to stop and think, that's not a real movie. That's not...
And what about things like Tintin? Because I think Tintin...
You mean as a CGI movie? Well, that's okay, because, Tintin's never going to look real.
Yeah, it's consistent within its world. Like, the Polar Express, the Polar Express has not aged well, because those kids are all dead-eyed zombies.
Yeah, it's very weird.
They're fucking scary beasts in that film. But I just wonder, you know, as we talk about effects getting more and more refined, you know, are we going to get to the digital actor point where people just...
You'll never get that far. I don't think you'll ever get 100%. It'll never be... You'll always know. You will always know, in our lifetime anyway.
So if you had a choice, if you were making a film and had a choice whether to have CGI... or models, or no CGI, just rely on storytelling, what would you do?
Well, if I'm making an action film, it's all practical.
Yeah.
I want real explosions. I want real squibs. If it's sci-fi fantasy, you know, you're going to want CGI because you're going to want to make the most impressive looking thing you can. And, certainly there would be a place for models in that, but you would have to have more to it to make it as good, you know, because you're in competition with everyone else at the moment, you know, so
yeah,
I think that's particularly in big blockbusters where it all kind of starts to go wrong maybe with some types of things, you know. And then just, you know, so to me it really depends on the film. I don't think I would use it for no reason if it didn't need to, you know.
I agree. Yeah, as long as it's going to use properly.
Fucking Expendables 2 helicopter, man. Holy shit.
Fucking Bloodshots. Just do it proper.
It's just hideous looking.
Do it properly, for Christ's sake.
Oh. So, summary then. CGI, useful tool if used properly.
Yeah. I.e., don't be George Lucas.
Or Steven Spielberg.
Or Michael Bay.
Or
Brett Ratner.
Brett Ratner. Oh my god.
Talking about Brett Ratner, did you hear the latest news?
His Hercules movie?
With Rock.
Rock.
Oh. Damn it, why?
Why Rock?
You know what? If I heard that news separately, it was like, The Rock's going to be Hercules. Awesome!
Hold on. King Conan?
Oh, with The Rock in it.
No. Arnold Schwarzenegger?
That's true. Oh, that is true. King Conan.
What about that?
To that so much. I miss, you know, after seeing Expendables 2, I miss Schwarzenegger. I really
Do you know
miss
what? Him. I was today looking at his autobiography and I was kind of thinking, do you know, I know he's a Republican, he was a Republican politician and he's probably completely out of whack with normal life, but man, that would probably be a good book to read.
It would be a good book.
Yeah. Well, he's called it Total Recall as well. It's like, yeah.
He's a Republican, but he's still a cool guy though.
Oh yeah!
Did you see that letter he wrote? The Senate vetoed one of his plans for some kind of climate thing, and he wrote them a letter saying like how disappointed he was about what they did, and like each letter down the side of the letter said "fuck you." But you've got to respect that, you know. Yes, he may have stepped around behind his wife.
Book to read.
Yeah,
had a quick flick, and it's very much early Schwarzenegger because it seems Terminator seems to come in about 3/4 of the way through, but I think basically the last quarter of the book is going to be I ruled the world in the 80s. That's it.
Well, buy it and lend it to me then. Yeah, you buy it, Joe, then we'll all borrow it.
Cool.
Yeah. Don't get on Kindle or some iPad shit, though.
That's what you say.
Cool. Right, so that brings around that debate. How was that debate for you, gentlemen?
Felt good.
Good debate.
I feel like Apollo Creed.
Bastard.
In Rocky 2, halfway through the fight, it's going well.
In that case, are you ready for the quiz?
No.
Yes.
Totally off today.
This is going to be
saying the wrong thing.
He has. He said little Nemo, go. Star Wars Trek. When he said Star Wars, he's all over the place. This quiz is mine.
4 to 5. It was bloody three of them.
I don't want to put pressure on you, Jared, but you are reigning champion or something like that, aren't you, in all these quizzes?
I think I lost the last one, did I not?
I think even the quiz that you hosted, you won. I don't know how that worked. But there we go.
Because he's a bastard, that's why.
Okay. So this quiz, as with most of our other quizzes, are taken straight from 80s TV quizzes.
Yes! And
they're different. This one is based on a round from Going for Gold.
Holy. Oh man, tell me I can play the theme tune.
Indeed.
There's gotta be like a 5 second time limit or less even to prevent Google.
I've thought it through. That's true. Yeah, don't use Google. But I'm like a time limit on this.
All right.
So
scouts on them, not using Google.
It is the Who Am I game. Ooh. So basically, I there's 6 celebrities, 3 each, 5 clues. I'll read you 1 clue, and you have an opportunity to guess who it is. And obviously, the more clues that you get, the less points you get. So if you guess it right after the first clue, you get 5 points. Second clue, 4 points, 3, and so on.
In the classic Going for Gold style, yes, I remember.
Exactly. Yeah. However, if you take a guess and you get it wrong, control of the board swings over to the other player. So they get the chance to steal.
Don't guess if you don't know.
However, but don't say that. However, thing is, that's the thing. It's all about the risk. Risk for the points or not.
Yeah, and if you don't want to guess, you just get another clue.
Yeah, and if you don't guess, you just get another clue. But obviously, the points are going down.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, and obviously, once the control swings back to the other person, if they take a guess and it's wrong, obviously it swings back to the person as well.
Yeah,
let's do this.
Now, wait.
I'm going to be Phil from Belgium because I like waffles.
Okay, you're Phil from Belgium. Who are you, Jared from?
I am Antonio from Italy because I like
Antonio that. From Italy.
Nice.
Perfect. And I'm not Henry Kelly because there was something weird about him.
I should be Henry Kelly.
Actually, you know what? He could be another name.
He was Irish.
What, on Philip Schofield's list?
What?
His hit list.
Has he got a hit list now?
Yes. On this morning today. David Cameron was on. David Cameron was on this morning. Yeah. And Philip Schofield just said, he just produced a list of paedophiles and said, what are you going to do about these people? And
he'd researched the internet and
come up with
a list of conservative politicians who are maybe the alleged paedophiles.
Yeah.
I love I love how the fact that David Cameron has only come in saying it's a witch hunt now after the Conservative Party are being brought into light. However, last week when it was all about the BBC coming into light, that's fine. I'm on holiday.
Oh, man. Politics. So, politics. Topical news. Matt, this is another quiz.
Back to the quiz.
Going for gold.
Hey, who's moving to Colorado or Washington with me?
Oh, what was that with the marijuana? It's legalized.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus Christ almighty. Anyway, back to the quiz.
I'm moving to the state that's got the lesbian senator. Ah, oh, yeah.
To the motherfucking quiz.
Oh, sorry, Martin. Sorry, Henry. Okay. Martin,
so,
Kelly.
I have to ask. I must demand for correct answers. Okay.
Yeah. Because that's how quizzes work, Ted.
That's how it's... I'm going to warn you.
I must demand correct answers.
I must have correct answers. First correct answer has to be correct.
Okay.
First correct answer has to be correct. Yes.
This quiz makes sense.
Your shitness is rubbing off on me now, Jared.
What if my first incorrect answer is correct?
Then
I'm accepting your first answer only.
A white hole. What is it?
For each guess, obviously. Now.
Who's going first?
Take note, though. These could be character names, or they could be actor names.
Okay. What is it?
However, saying that, I will not accept a character name if it's an actor that I'm on about, and I will not accept an actor name if I'm talking about the character.
Oh, for frig's sake.
Man, this is complex.
Getting more complicated. This is hardcore. Okay.
This is hardcore.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Pick a number between 1 and 6.
6.
Oh.
Sexy 6.
You always go sexy 6.
Are you ready?
Born ready.
Is that the first question?
Yes! Is that correct?
5 points for Phil. Yeah.
Who am I?
Martin, I win.
Damn it.
I knew that was going to happen and Martin. I meant to say
go
something.
Go on, Jared, pipe down. Go on, Jared, this Damn is important. You. This is the quiz. Come on, take it serious. Come on.
Right.
I'm ready.
I was born on 22nd November 1958 in Santa Monica, California, to my parents, Janet and Tony. 5.
Sylvester Stallone.
Incorrect answer. Control of the board swings to Jared.
Damn it.
For the second clue.
Yeah, hear the first one and then the second one again.
No. Although I'm American, I gained the title Right Honourable the Lady Hayden Guest after my husband Christopher's father died, making him 5th Baron Hayden Guest and a British peer.
Jimmy Lee Curtis.
Good God, he got it right.
Damn it!
4 points to Jared.
Shit.
How the hell did you get that?
Because I know she's a lady.
She's a lady.
Or is she?
Whoa.
That's the question. Anyway.
Well, she is.
Oh, man, I lost that board. That's my board. I lost it.
That was your board and you lost it. And that shows you how it all works. The other clues were...
This game can turn in a heartbeat.
The other clues were also a little bit of tidbits for you. In 1987, I can't even read my own... I filed a patent for a modification of a diaper, but refused to allow companies to use it until they made biodegradable diapers, or until the patent ran out, which it did in the 20th of February.
Not to nitpick this quiz, but I would have assumed the clues got easier.
Yes,
that had been the next one. I wouldn't have had a notion.
Let me tell you this: that is not common knowledge that people know that Lady Hayden Guest is Jamie Lee Curtis.
Okay.
Well, it's common enough that Jared knows it. Come on,
Jared's. You know what Jared's like. He knows these.
Yeah,
shit.
But he's from Lyland.
Fine. Okay, so Jared, this is your turn again.
Okay.
1 and 5.
2.
Okay.
Tricky 2.
I am a detective of the New York City Police Department, but have previously been a lieutenant for the LAPD.
Next thing.
I have Irish American ancestry. Right, if I don't hear a guess... Right. I used to be married to a woman named Holly, but we separated.
Next clue.
I have 2 children called Lucy and John.
Next clue.
I was known in Japan to be a reluctant hero with no shoes. Then the next time, I had shoes.
Next clue.
Stop!
So that means, right, Phil, control of the board goes to you because he said pass.
It's John McClane.
For 1 point, John McClane.
I got that. You did that on purpose. You did that on purpose, Jared.
Here's the thing, though. He's only in the lead, 3 points.
He did that on purpose.
Well, there we go.
That was still funny.
Man, yeah, I'm here. I'm ready. I'm going to kick. Oh, I'm angry now. I'm angry.
Pick a number between 1 and 6, but not 2 and 6.
Freaky 4.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Ask the question. I was born in New York City on 25th September 1952 to my parents, Barbara and Franklin.
Hmm.
Right, I'm going to move on to the second.
Yeah, that's fine.
I studied at Cornell, but left before my senior year to go to Juilliard.
Nope. Next.
Okay, carry on. To help build muscle for a film role, I was put on a training scheme supervised by Darth Vader.
Oh, man. Oh, I know next.
Some of my closest friends include Katharine Hepburn, Jane Seymour, and Robin Williams.
Oh, man. I don't know this. This is bad. Next.
Last clue. I made you believe that a man could fly.
Christopher Reeves.
Incorrect. Control of the board goes to you.
I'm going to say that it was, I'm just going to guess, Richard Donner.
Incorrect. The answer was Christopher Reeve, not Reeves.
Oh, Martin!
Pernickety!
Yeah.
So that means no one gets anything for that
one. Oh, that was, still a fee for you, man.
Reeves, that's the whole thing. It's George Reeves. Reeve. You should know this.
I would have said Christopher Reeve, but, you know.
You utter.
Whenever it wasn't that, I was like, well, who the hell is it?
you utter bastard.
Right, I will pick. Which one can I have? I'll have one.
One? You want one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want one.
I was born in Riverside, Iowa, United States.
Why does that sound familiar? Pat, next.
Born to my parents, George and Winona.
Next.
I have a brother named George Samuel, but everyone calls him Sam.
Next.
At my academy, I was the only person to beat a test, but I cheated.
Is it James T. Kirk?
Correct. For 2 points.
Oh, man. That's why he's got. He's on 6 and I'm on 1.
He's on 6 and you're on 1.
I need to get the next one first go, don't I, to get back in it?
Pretty much. There are 2 clues left. 3 and 5.
35.
3 and 5.
I said flirty 5. Flirty yes. 5.
Oh, I thought you said 35.
No.
I was going to say, like, that's not a number. You're just putting both the numbers together.
Like, yeah, Bill, you do.
I said flirty-5. It makes clear, obviously, what I'm
like
saying.
35.
But I said flirty. Yeah,
35.
Number five.
You guys can both piss right off, I tell you.
Okay.
I'm angry.
Right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Good. I was born on 2nd of May, 1972, in Hayward, California, to my parents, Ata and Rocky.
That doesn't help me at all, Martin.
Hang on, then. I studied at the University of Miami and graduated in 1995 with a degree in criminology and physiology.
Huh? Next.
I started out on a career path to be an NFL player, but was cut 2 months into the season.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
This time you get it right.
Yes!
So what's the point here?
Phil has 4 points. Jared has 6.
Well, I've won.
You have won. Do you want to play the last one?
Step yeah, on. I do want to play just to see if I can do it.
See if you can.
You know, Phil ain't gonna get more than 1 point.
That's true.
Absolute bastard.
Okay. And
I have a feeling he's going to get this one anyway.
It's just not fair.
I was born in the US in 1937 and served in the US Army as Lieutenant of the 173rd Airborne Brigade during the Vietnam War.
Next.
1967, I joined the LAPD.
Next.
I am married to Trish and we have 3 children named Nick, Carrie and Rianne.
Next.
I became a captain temporarily in 1998, but was demoted the same year.
Next.
Man.
My partner is a Jew-hating crazy asshole.
Was that the last quiz? The last clue? All right, don't know.
Bill?
It's Myrtle, Roger Myrtle.
Correct. For 1 point. Did you actually know that?
No, actually, it didn't come to me.
You bastard.
But there was no way I was making a guess.
Wow, so there we go. So there we have it.
I think I'm crazy. So who won?
Final scores, Phil 5, Gerard 6.
Thank you, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Indeed.
Curse you. I will have my revenge in this life or the next.
That was surprising. I tell you what, it's Christopher Reeves.
That was
so hard. You ruined me, Jared. It was you not playing the game properly, using tactics.
Hey! I stuck to the rules. Within the boundaries of
the rules.
I think it's interesting how it all started, though, because as we all started off, Phil gave me a guess first time off, and then he realised, shit, I'm going to be punished for this, and certainly he was.
Yeah. Yes, Martel, I was. Thank you for the feedback.
It's okay, but that was a good quiz, yeah?
Get to the bloody wrap-up of the podcast.
It's Lethal Watching!
So, what have we learnt today?
Jared, nothing.
Yet another quiz. Retained championship of nothing that we've created before.
We've learned that Jared is a bastard.
We've learned that CGI can be used sparingly and should be used sparingly or properly. And we've learned that Skyfall is one of the best Bond films ever.
Sweet.
And Disney buying Star Wars is a good thing.
And it's Christopher Reeve.
And it's Christopher Reeve. So there we go.
Sake.
On this happy note.
This is a bad day.
I have been Martin Kilbane. Who have you two been?
Phil's fucking computer.
I've been pissed off, that's what I've been.
He's been screwed out of the title, that's what he's been.
Screwed.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to Lethal Watching, and we hope to entertain you very soon. How's about that? Smooth.
Oh, yeah, fuck off. Bye.
Lethal Watching was brought to you by Phil Doyle and Gerard Boyle.
I'm Martin Kilbane.
In association with abadeducation.com.
'Cause I'm getting a dry throat.
It's the Star Wars rage. It's making you dry.
It is the Star Wars rage. Hold on a second. You going now? Oh, hold on. Sorry, my mum's down, but she's going here. Hold on. 2 ticks.
No problem.
Hello, Mrs. Boyle.
Yeah.
Mrs. Boyle. Clearly, she didn't want to say goodbye to us.
Didn't want to say goodbye to us. Well, we don't matter at all, do we?
I know. I feel quietly hurt though about that.
Quietly hurt.
Quietly hurt about that.
It's like sobbing to yourself, I'm going to stoically stand here and be fine.
Bye, Mrs. Boyle.
Bye, Mrs. Boyle.
But come on.
Doesn't want to say goodbye to us.
She clearly favours her son over us. I mean, I don't know what to say to that.
It's not right, is it? It's just not right. What have we ever done, apart from not talking to her ever?
I know, and we don't even know what she looks like and everything, you know, and nothing.
I imagine Jared in a dress.
Like, no, I do dress. Too. Oh, wow. That's amazing. Like rollers in the hair as well, like kind of like Nora Batty.
Yes. Perfect. But obviously because it's Jared, she's bald, so they're just kind of stuck to her head.
Oh, that is tremendous.
Sorry, Mrs. Boyle.
We need to get on Photoshop this, you know.
I was going to put this at the end of the podcast, but I'm not so sure. Oh. I don't want Mrs. This will be like the one podcast. Jared's like, oh, Mum, listen to this. This is the podcast I do. Listen to the whole thing.
Here's the funny thing, because I think Jared doesn't listen back anyway, so I think we can get away with this. Shh, everybody. Oh, blimey.
Oh, hello.
Hello. You're right. Don't worry, we've not missed anything at all.
Nothing at all.
Right. Nothing at all. So, we're nearly done with this whole debate. How